Jackie Lewis will come and share our gospel reading.
The scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."
I learned about grapevines when we moved to New York and bought our house just outside Rochester on Rush. So 2004. In the photos of the house on the realtor's site, there was a shot of the back, and there was all this green that looked like just maybe this huge hedge. I remember saying, like, what's the deal with that green on the back of the house? Like, what is growing there? And when we got there and looked at the house, what we discovered was that there was a large deck on the back, and there was, A trellis, a big trellis covering the whole deck, and it was covered in this enormous grapevines that apparently had not been managed or pruned the entire 8 years this family had lived there. Our next door neighbor, Dick Meese, who did not have very much good to say about that family, commented to us more than once about the state of the yard, that it took 8 years to get this bad. Don't expect it to get good again in a year or two. It's going to take a while. So what we learned, and I remember, think of this every year now, that in late winter, early spring, if you have a grapevine, you need to prune. And because it was a trellis, it involved climbing up on a paint ladder and, you know, all sorts of shenanigans to prune. Because grapes grow on new growth. They do not grow on a branch that grew out last year. They grow on new growth. So you prune grapevines back hard, right back to the main big old vine. And then you watch the new growth shoot out and the grapes come. I encourage you to take a minute and look at your bulletin cover. Janice and I picked this particular image because it doesn't just show the leaves and the grapes, it shows the vine. And a long-growing grapevine gets big and thick like that. But every year it will put out these new, and it's amazing how fast those new branches grow over this course of a summer season, and then the grapes come. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches, and my Father, his favorite word, especially in John, to talk about God. My Father's the vine, the vineyard grower, the vine dresser, the one who takes care of the vine. Now, let's just say some of us may have our issues with Father, but I really wanted, and I told Jackie, let's use Father in what we read today, because that's Jesus talking about God in this intimate, connected way that was so important to who he was and what he wants us to understand. Close, connected. The vine and the branches is a metaphor, not a simile, a metaphor for connection, for relationship, for community, for communion. Dependent. What happens when you clip off a branch when you prune it? Jesus says it shrivels up and dies, and you can throw it in the fire and burn it after a while, right? What happens to that Christmas tree you cut down and a few months later, it's good for a great bonfire, but there's no more life in that tree after you cut it. These teachings in John 14 to 17, the gospel writer sets as Jesus' very long set of teachings the last night of his life. I seriously doubt he said all these things that night. But it gives us this setting. Jesus having lived his life in ministry, Jesus on the verge of knowing he's going to be betrayed and die, speaking to his followers about how are they going to live on the other side of his dying? How are they going to live? How do we live as his followers? And the word is, one of the many words in these chapters is, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me, stay connected to me. Know that you depend on me, that without me you cannot do what you're called to do. How many of us try by our own will to live our spiritual lives? Right? Over and over again. And I get reminded that I need to depend on God and let God flow through me, and it's not all up to me, and I turn around the next day and do it all over again. It's an over and over and over thing of realizing it's not me. It's ultimately about letting the Spirit of Christ flow through us. And that many times when we're doing it the best is when we don't even know we're doing it. Because that's the way the Spirit works, through us, not because of us. Now, Jesus talks here about pruning. It's funny, the root word in the Greek for pruning, and then you've been cleansed, you've already been cleansed, it's the same word. So I don't know why in the English translation they shift it to cleansed. I find that a little confusing. The point is pruning, that we don't just grow and grow and grow, we also get pruned. Pruning makes me think about that grapevine, but it also makes me think about my dad. My mom was the gardener in our family. Most of the time, my dad was just muscle for whatever she needed and thought needed to happen. I think Bill and Barb Fry may have something of this kind of relationship from what I've heard. Except on some days when my dad decided to prune, and especially if it was on a Saturday when he had a sermon to preach the next day, my mom would often get nervous. She would say, he's working hard on this sermon, and out he went with his pruning shears to tackle the yard. So the branches would get pruned away, sometimes way more drastically than my mother would have envisioned or wanted them to get pruned. And afterward, I used to think the bush or the trees really looked kind of pitiful. As a kid, I kind of felt sorry for them. Like I thought, doesn't it feel bad to get chopped back? I wonder if it hurt. I used to wonder that as a kid. But even Dad's pruning. Pruning, when done correctly, leads to growth. It leads to a better shape. It leads to branches. It leads to flowers. It leads to fruit. We all need pruning. So here Jesus offers us this idea that God prunes us so that we can have growth and bear more fruit. So what feels like pruning? What is pruning in our lives? Sometimes I think it is very directly God's action happening. God saying, that's something you need to let go of. That's something we need to work on. That's something. Sometimes it's like that. Other times it's just life. Like, stuff happens. And God uses that, works with that, works through that, even though it can feel like we are getting chopped to pieces. You felt any of that lately in some parts of your lives? Jesus' word is that this happens. Pruning happens. And maybe part of what makes the difference between whether it's pruning or whether it's destruction is whether we can know that it's pruning. Whether we can accept that, okay, even in the midst of this struggle and this pain, this whatever, that God can work through this if I can just stay connected. If I can just keep it from letting me just get chopped off. You know what I'm saying? Pruning comes in a lot of different ways. And I just wonder, invite you to think about what feels like, where do you feel like you're getting pruned right now in your life? And does it feel like it's God just sort of working on you, like you need to let go of this? You don't need that anymore. You can focus on this way and don't get all caught up in that. Or is it deeply painful, a place where you're feeling stripped, vulnerable, having to grieve? Sometimes it's just a recognition, time to move on to the next phase, time to embrace change. School years end. Kids move from elementary to middle school. Got some of that happening this year. Graduations happen. People finish Ithaca College graduation today. People graduating law school. Emily moving on to a new thing. These things happen. Friendships change, relationships change, our bodies change. Have you noticed? There's growing up, but then there's growing older and older. I mean, as my sister's mother-in-law used to say, it's better than the alternative, which would be dying, but still, growing older is hard. In all of this, the hard, the painful, the stuff that just comes out of nowhere and strips us bare, it feels like, as well as the natural evolving changes of life, Jesus keeps on saying, abide in me. Stay connected. Put your roots down. Whatever image works for you, stay connected. And I think it's worth the thinking, how do we do that? What works for you? It's not the same for everybody. For some of it's meditation, it's chanting, it's being in community and worship. For some of us, it's serving others, being out in nature, riding a horse, walking the dog. I mean, there's so many different ways that can be the ways that we nurture our connection to God's love. Jesus says, abide in me. Live in me, trust in me, stay in me, no matter what comes. I'm the vine and you are the branches. I'm the connection to divine love and spirit. I'm the connection to the energy and life that flows through me and it feeds you. It will give you all that you need. Just keep loving me and letting me love you and love each other. Live into that. Loving. In March, when we went to Europe to meet up with our daughter and son-in-law and grandson, we were able to go to Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris and see the amazing restoration that's happening there, has happened there since the fire 5 years ago. The outside, there's still a lot of scaffolding, but the inside has reopened, and it is amazing. The thing that's most amazing is how much lighter and brighter it is because they cleaned every stone. So centuries worth of grime and candle soot and whatever is all gone. That's its own kind of pruning, I guess. But what struck me and Bill both is at the central altar in Notre Dame is a statue of Mary. It is a Pietà. She's holding the dead body of Jesus sprawled across her lap. but her arms are upraised. She's not holding on to him. She is letting go. Do you feel that? Tears are running down her cheeks, but her arms are lifted to God, letting go in love and faith, trusting in divine love, living into the love, even in her terrible grief. Jesus gave himself in love. We, like his mother, can follow him in letting go and letting the love flow and trusting. There will always be enough for what we need. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Live in my love. Amen.